This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for his latest thoughts on the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Plenty to talk about today. We've had a whole raft of data earlier in the day. What stood out for you?
Yeah, so today's, actually, this whole week has been so far a pretty good one in terms of U.S. economic data. The dollar is firm today. I think we should maybe just start there. Dollar is at about a 1.5 to 2 month high. Trading around on the DXY, we're looking at 99.5 here or so. Continues to charge ahead and breaking out, or at least it seems to be trying to, against most international currencies. And one thing to mention is just for the currency traders out there watching some key levels, dollar yen approaching back to that high of 160 that we have oftentimes pointed to, the point being that's where the Bank of Japan has wanted to intervene. Another question mark starts to arise if whether or not they will do so. The last time the Bank of Japan did some intervention here, back in early May, the dollar yen did move sharply lower, but has retraced completely back to its highs. For currency traders, I thought that was worth mentioning. Euro dollar, pound dollar, both are lower today. And again, that dollar index kind of being the culprit there, off of a couple key economic data metrics. You asked me to point out where we should start with that. Well, ADP numbers this morning. Today's jobs numbers were fairly decent. 122,000 jobs added to the private payrolls. ADP non-farm employment change. That was just about on target. 118,000 expected, came in at 122. Where things actually were strong today were the ISM services PMIs. Came in at 54.5 versus 53.7 expected. That is another higher than previous reading as well. And that follows what we saw 2 days prior on Monday. We had ISM manufacturing PMIs, which were also the best they have been in about a year. Actually, might be more than that. 54 versus 53.3 expected. And for listeners who are newer to the PMI stuff, remember that a higher than 50 PMI report tells you that industry leaders within the manufacturing or the services component, respectively, are seeing forward-looking promising outlook if it is above 50, and they see contraction coming if it is below 50. It's an aggregated index of a lot of different people being asked this question. So it's a pretty insightful thing to look at when trying to gauge where the economy might be going next. Of course, it's not perfect. People have biases. People have, you know, sometimes their politics come into play. Sometimes latest geopolitical events come into play that can sway things one way or the other in terms of people's sentiment. But it is still worth keeping an eye on. Just one more note on sentiment. We also keep an eye on our podcast here to the consumer confidence numbers, which have been at multi-year lows for a couple months. But it is worth mentioning that the last four CB consumer confidence numbers have actually beat expectations. All of that, just on the economic data, has been a promising uptick for the U.S. dollar. Oh, and there was one that I missed, which was actually a much better than expected JOLTS job openings as well. You take all this into consideration, and then, Johnny, you layer in what's going on with Iran causing people to flock to the U.S. dollar as a bit of a safe haven. I think you have the recipe for why we see dollar moving higher. And I think that the next level, again, back to our traders listening, that 100 level on the dollar index, big round number, may be our next stopping point. Of course, not financial advice, just looking at the chart here. Our next major resistance is around 100.4 on the DXY if you're looking at a daily chart perspective. So dollar firm for now. And that just on the other end of things, precious metals are lower. Gold is down 1%. Silver's down 2.5% or so here today. And oil contributing to that dollar safe haven status right now due to inflation expectations being on the rise. We're looking at U.S. oil here around $96 a barrel. Again, how many times, Johnny, we should start a chalkboard and start marking how many times we have seen that a ceasefire or an end to the war is coming, and then Iran says the opposite the next day, because it's got to be getting up there.
I wanted to ask you about SpaceX, actually, Nick, because it looks like it's got an IPO coming up. And I was reading over the last couple of days, some believe that SpaceX is very much overvalued, almost by 50%, according to some commentators. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that if we take history as a measurement, I think there's a couple of things that we could talk about here. We have SpaceX IPOing on the US stock market, but we also have a couple other names. OpenAI, the ChatGPT explosive, you know, company right now, all the rave. Anthropic, which is behind Claude. We have various others as well. A lot of these companies are coming to public markets, but remember, they have traded privately in the private markets for some time. And so to your point there, Johnny, I am a fan of issuing some caution on these things simply because a lot of times, for example, Meta, which at the time was trading as Facebook, Snapchat, many stocks, when they first come to market, have been driven up tremendously in the private markets ahead of time. People, you know, behind the scenes who bring it to IPO, there is a tremendous amount of kind of staking within these companies before the common person gets the chance to get their hands on shares. So I think that there is a distinct possibility. It is not something I can for sure say, obviously, but there is, in my opinion, a ton of hype around these names. And I think that the risk to the downside, personally, is greater than the risk to the upside. Simply put, I think when you have everyone so excited about these things, and it's so obviously, you know, the hottest stock, the hottest excitement thing, that it could cause a little bit of disappointment, or really, I should say, any amount of disappointment could cause a significant disappointment in the share price. Just as a context, like Facebook, which was a very exciting IPO too, a year later, it was much lower. So you have, that's of course just one example. There are times when IPOs tend to, or can do well, but they tend to have, all the hype is before the actual release, right? The hype of these things is before it happens, not after. So we'll see how it all plays out. But my opinion is that you have a lot of hype. You have a lot of excitement around these names. Not to say that that's necessarily a bad thing.
Finally, Nick, we don't talk about Bitcoin much these days, but looking at the current price of Bitcoin, anybody who bought at the top of the market must be rather alarmed right now because it's worth about half of what it was.
Yeah, and to say alarmed, that is the understatement, right? A lot of these people who get involved with Bitcoin, understandably, like they're very exciting moments where these things are going up every day, it seems. And then suddenly, very quickly, it can turn on its head. And, you know, granted, if you had told me 2 years ago that Trump was going to win the election and also claim to be the Bitcoin president, by self-proclamation, then I would think Bitcoin is probably going to have an interesting time ahead. And it has, but just not to the direction that I think a lot of people have thought. Bitcoin down pretty significantly, and really significantly just in the last 2 weeks or so. We've seen Bitcoin moving lower. Again, I think it is falling on the idea that kind of what you said there just a second ago, Johnny, with the concept of we haven't been talking about it a lot. And this is a instrument that lives and breathes off of sentiment, hype, and interest. Granted, all of the great runs in cryptocurrencies are not backed by earnings potential for a company or the economy that it represents, but rather hype and enthusiasm around risk assets. And I think that that being down kind of is emblematic of what we said earlier about the consumer confidence being so low. I think that people are feeling the pinch, but then you might say, well, then what about the stock market? How is the stock market up so much and Bitcoin down so much? And I think for that, we also have to recognize that the stock market is at an index level due to tech stocks up quite a bit. But under the hood, a lot of parts of the stock market and international stocks for that matter are not seeing the same love and attention that U.S. tech stocks have been getting in the last, you know, well, really since the bottoming that we saw right at the beginning of April. So I think that when you're looking at cryptocurrency, it has been a disappointing time for the crypto crowd, not just because of the price depreciation, price going down, but also relative to other risk assets like the NASDAQ. You look at the NASDAQ and it's up tremendously in the last, 3 months, whereas Bitcoin has really taken a big hit. So it's been a challenging environment for the crypto crowd, taking out, monthly lows here and now back down towards the 65,000 mark at the time of recording this. So definitely a challenging environment and not something I would have expected with Bitcoin. So I think keeping an eye on the inflation story, that strength in the dollar in 2022 was a very challenging environment for Bitcoin. And it feels somewhat emblematic, Johnny, of when we were doing the podcast during all of that stuff that was going on, right? You had Russia and Ukraine and inflation worries and the Fed raising rates. Meanwhile, Bitcoin was much lower for a very long time. So a little bit of challenge in the crypto space.
Very interesting. Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you so much. We'll speak again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.